WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
Any man who falls behind is left behind.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
A craftsman is always pleased to hear his work is appreciated.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
I'm not entirely sure that I've had enough rum to allow that kind of thing.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Fine gentleman, don't you think?
The Omega.
Don't dare impugn me on that boy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
So this is your able-bodied crew.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
No one. There's no one.
Distant cousin of my aunt's nephew, twice removed. Lovely singing voice, though. Unique.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm told it's the latest fashion in London.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Me, I'm dishonest. And a dishonest man, you can always trust to be dishonest.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and the very first undisputed champion in WWE history. And you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
It's WTR Sunday Night.
You're supposed to be dead!
Spectacle that was WrestleMania. Backlash just took place live on the WWE Network and on Peacock. Big beefy men beefed around. Wrestlers wrestled. And we had zombies. Because movie promotion.
It's a gimmick!
This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stream me live at twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. I'm Sir Rockin. TJ Omega has the night off. We do have Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, we do.
And we have Tim Stein.
Yeah, we do. Too. As well, also, even... Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the WrestleMania Backlash edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Type that into the address bar, click go, and you can join us in the chat room we got set up here, and you can talk with us and other fans, and we'll talk back.
Not all of us are going to be using that terrible accent.
But
I can't type in that terrible accent either, so.
Not everybody's going to be able to talk in a bad accent, so I'll be the one to do it. So, that happened tonight.
Yeah.
So, let's just get it out of the way. There are zombies on this show for promoting the movie that Batista's in. Was it Army of the Darkness or something?
No. Army of Darkness was with Bruce Campbell in 1990. I want to say... Two.
And what was the movie they were promoting?
I think this one was Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead. Okay. Army of the
it's
Dead.
It's a Zack Snyder original.
It's in select theaters and it's coming to Netflix. Go watch it because WWE brought zombies into our world.
Oh, I'm probably going to watch it now just because I got so hyped with that zombie lumberjack match.
John Morrison got eaten alive by zombies and then so did The Miz.
So did The Miz. Yeah, the zombies were hungry. Speaking of which, there were a couple of different zombies in the crowd that that you may have missed.
Like who?
We had Zombie Elvis.
Everyone caught Zombie Elvis.
Okay, but there was also Scotty Too Hottie was a zombie.
I didn't catch that.
It would have been kind of difficult to catch that. I could go back and see if I can find the picture and show it to you. There's no way anybody could have told, was able to tell it was Scotty.
Because if you've seen recent pictures of Scotty Too Hottie, he does not look like Scotty Too Hottie from back in the day.
Also because makeup.
That too, but he also doesn't look like he did 20 years ago.
I don't know very many people who do look like they did 20 years ago who aren't named Clint Eastwood.
So, yeah, the zombie match. It happened. Damian Priest won his match.
Yeah, but that's like mid-pay-per-view. You're jumping the gun
a
little.
I wanted to get it out of the way, Tim. Just wanted to get it over with.
Well, we're still going to be talking about it.
No, we just did. We talked about the match. Zombies. Yeah. It happened.
Yeah, but you know, as the card, as we go through the card, it'll come back up again.
We could just skip right over. We could just skip right over it, Tim. We got it out of the way.
That was match number three.
That's fine. We can talk about. We don't have to go in order, Tim.
Seriously.
Structure. You want structure on this show, Tim?
Well, you know, I tried once or twice to have that happen, but you guys don't play along.
So you know, let's. All right, you want to do structure? Let's start with structure, Tim. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. Why don't we start by talking about zombie lumberjack match three?
We already did.
Oh, okay.
Unless we have any other comments regarding zombies.
Does anybody know how they invented the visible barrier that kept them from crawling inside the ring? Because if so, I would like one for when the impending zombie apocalypse happens.
Apparently, the invisible barrier didn't stop their arms from reaching in and interfering.
It's the same barrier that stops a wrestler from leaving the ring to chase after another wrestler. It's the same barrier.
Oh, so the barrier was instructions?
No, they had Mr. Scott build it. People are like, how did he jump to Star Trek from wrestling? It's not that big a leap. All right, Rock. What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the pre-show, Tim.
Oh, the hype show on free TV for everybody to in the States get onto Peacock, and in Canada to order the WWE Network.
Yes, Sheamus is open challenge.
You did not like this match.
No,
well,
no,
the aftermath.
I like the match.
Ricochet looked fantastic.
Why was he wearing jeans? That was my biggest question.
You and I were discussing this only because Casey wasn't in on the Skype chat with us. But we were talking, this just feels like it may have been hotshotted.
Or maybe made to look like it was hotshotted.
That was my rebuttal to that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that would be like the first time they went, wait, if it's an open challenge and he's just going out to the ring, he shouldn't be in his gear because every other time everyone's in their gear. Or he didn't.
Isn't that a case of they actually finally did something subtle that made sense?
It actually did make sense. Or they called him up last minute and he forgot his gear. Who knows?
I can't believe that Ricochet would have forgotten his gear.
If it was very last minute, they said get to the building.
I could have, you know, seriously.
I don't know.
Anything's possible in the World Wrestling Entertainment.
I heard that setting somewhere. I don't know. I've heard that once or twice before. But yeah, I did not like the aftermath after Sheamus won. Made the champion look really weak.
Did it, though?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose in some lights it might have, but in other lights it didn't, though. Ricochet takes the loss, sure, but are they working at they decided to open this as a program between the two, an angle between the two of them?
I don't know if it's going to be more than a match tomorrow on Raw.
That's all that's going to happen.
That's all I think is going to happen. I think Ricochet was a last minute replacement for Humberto, who probably got hurt on Monday. They said he was okay, but he probably banged up
saw the match on Monday with Humberto, he looked to be in quite a bit of pain afterwards.
Yeah,
he got a little squished.
Live TV, anything can happen. It was a terrible landing. But no, I don't know. I thought he looked weak coming out of it, but that's just me. I thought if you're trying to build up champions and have them, give some credibility to them, they should not be looking weak to guys who don't even make television every week. But that's just me.
I understand that. But we'll see. Probably starting tomorrow. Who knows?
Sheamus and the battle will be a title match or another non-title match. Sheamus will win again, and you move on to the next challenger because Ricochet's embroiled in a feud with Mustafa Ali on WWE main event, the show no one watches.
Is that still a thing?
Yep.
After SmackDown on Friday nights?
No, that's 205 Live.
Well, actually, in Canada on the Score, it's immediately main event and immediately follows SmackDown.
Here in the States.
The Score is a Canadian sports channel that Canadians get to watch sports that you guys get down in the States. For those who don't live here.
Yeah.
This is before your time, Casey, but I have explained Canadian sports channels to the Americans. And
yeah,
but
what about the new people, Tim? You got to bring in the new people.
Well, there's that too. But one thing is for sure. for a country with a population roughly equivalent to California. We've got a shit ton of sports channels, and I do believe we actually have more up here than the Americans have.
That's because we want to watch every single hockey game at the same time.
That's true.
And the United States doesn't care about hockey ever.
Well, don't forget about the soccer games. Soccer is a bigger deal in Canada than it is in the States, even though any Canadian soccer team you ever see sucks ass. It's true.
Our women's soccer teams do okay.
Well, the women's soccer team is, they have been known to kick ass.
Anyway.
But the men suck ass. So.
Just move on.
There you go. Yeah. So that was the free match on the pre-show. And of course, naturally we got all the hype and everything.
Hold on, Tim. Before you get to your next topic, I want to bring up something.
Okay.
Cause it's probably the biggest deal of the three women's matches or two women matches on the show. Mm-hmm. Friday night, Natty and Tamina won.
Women's
tag team titles.
I thought we were going to talk about that afterwards.
No, let's talk about before we get into the guts of the show.
That's fine by me. Being a friend of Natty and her husband, TJ, mm-hmm. I naturally am very, very happy for her that they put the belt on her. I can't really think of anybody in that locker room more deserving of that kind of recognition and reward than pretty much just about your hardest working female wrestler. This woman has been used by WWE to get all of their stars over, and she has done an absolutely incredible job doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Tamina.
4,000 days or something she's been with that company. Someone ridiculous number they put, someone put out for like 4,000 days. And now she's silent.
It's been a long time. I mean, Natty was a Divas champion. I mean, how many people are left from when that Divas title was still being used?
Tamina.
It has turned over quite a bunch.
Tamina. That's it.
So, that's kind of my point.
Yeah,
right?
I know that was your point. I was trying to actually think of any other girls that could have been around, but they just let Mickey James go. So, and the Bellas retired. So,
and there could have been a couple others, except that, they are also retired. Injuries and such.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Soraya. Anybody gonna pick up those names I just dropped?
No, I don't care to. Anyway, let's get to the main show then. Since we have
you're,
to let
you're a shit. Anyway, the first match on Backlash card. Basically, they used this to set the bar for the night, and it turned out to be a pretty high place bar, very lofty, in my personal opinion. And of course, the first match is the triple threat, Rhea Ripley defending against Asuka and Charlotte Flair for the Raw Women's title.
I enjoyed it a lot. It was a good match.
It was a good match. I felt a little underwhelmed. I had a little bit more expectations for it.
I mean, they definitely shoehorned a couple of things in there, but
it was fine. It's not going to go down one of those memorable triple threat matches for a title that we've ever seen. It was a solid wrestling match, I would say.
I think it was everything that I expected out of WrestleMania Backlash. So,
well, I would have been more invested if it wasn't a triple threat. And this goes back to what I've tweeted out, and I've had a lot of wrestling fans support my viewpoint. And of course, Rock, being the smart ass that he is, after I said enough with the triple threat title matches, there are too many of them, stop doing it, and you said no.
Yeah,
you're a smart ass.
Yes.
Or a wise ass or some shit,
all of the above.
But there are just way too many triple threat matches happening.
I would have been more invested.
It used to have that feel. It was a special big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a case of, oh, we can't let this person look weak, or that guy, you know, like if that guy's working injured, it's understandable. But just for the sake of having somebody be on the card, let's make it a triple threat.
See, I would have been more invested if they actually gave me a reason to be invested in other people besides Charlotte Flair. Rhea Ripley's come up on this main roster, and they've given you zero reason to give a damn about her.
They've given us very little chance to so far because of what they did. Rhea wins the title, and what happens? Okay, well, we got a new champ that we brought up from NXT. Let's shove Charlotte down everybody's throat again. Charlotte needs to stay away from the main event for a while. She needs to stay away from the women's title for a while.
It's not even that. And bad news, she's probably going to go Hell in a Cell with Rhea in a month. But no, it's just they haven't given us a chance to see Rhea. Unless you watch NXT every Wednesday night for the last few years, you wouldn't know who she is. If she came, if you just started watching and only watch Raw, you wouldn't know anything about Rhea Ripley. And they've done nothing to expose her to this audience that is about 2.5 times larger than the NXT audience. Like, they should put her in the ring and let her dominate some people. Because you have a bunch of girls you can just throw in the ring with her and just let her destroy every week. Just to show dominance. She's been in matches with Asuka and now Charlotte and Asuka where they're competitive matches. But we haven't seen, like, this destructive force known as Rhea Ripley. And it makes you hard to go, hey, it's Rhea Ripley. If there's nothing behind her.
Yeah.
Well, did they make this a triple threat with Charlotte just specifically because they really haven't taking the time to give the casual fan the impression that Rhea Ripley is the Nightmare?
I wouldn't say that, no. I just think they made a triple threat match because they want to start a program with Rhea and Charlotte and sort of end one with Asuka. Because that's how I see it going.
Mm-hmm.
But Rhea Ripley retained.
I don't know how many other people are sick of Charlotte or if I'm the only one.
There's an audience that's sick of her. I'm not sick of her. In title picture, could she back down from it? Yeah, but at this point, if you look at the Raw roster, who's your main eventers?
Well, what was it? 2 weeks ago, she cut like what felt like a 10-minute promo. I'm back. And I'm like, I don't care.
Well, but I don't know if that's as much her fault as much as it is WWE not, you know, like giving some of the other females a chance to do something aside from lose or be in throwaway women's tag matches.
They have to do a better job building up their females because they need it.
And then Charlotte can do things and people won't be annoyed with her.
So hopefully,
you look at that roster and you're like, well, who else can do it? Not a ton right now because they don't give anybody any credibility.
The only other person they give credibility to is Alexa Bliss, and she hasn't been in the ring since January.
And yeah, I guess they're slowly bringing her back, but that's going to be a little bit down the road.
Which is, in all honesty, the smart thing with her because of her past issues with concussions and such. Limiting her punch card and her bump card is a smart move.
Yep, absolutely.
Make sure so that she doesn't have to retire prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's a fine thing. The way they're handling Alexa is very commendable. So, but with this match, the Nightmare, Rhea Ripley retains the Raw Women's title and barks at Charlotte as Charlotte leaves ringside. In case you missed it tonight, kids, or didn't get a chance to see, when Charlotte came out, she was dressed like Cruella de Vil, and then when she got rid of the jacket, she was looking like a blonde Dalmatian with her outfit having black spots all over the place.
Next match.
On the card, the second match tonight is the SmackDown Tag Team title. It's the Dirty Dogs defending versus the Mysterios. But before the main show kicked off, we saw Dominik get attacked in the back, Rock. And,
what happened? He got attacked? No, say it isn't so.
Yeah, it was just one of those amazing, surprising things you never expect, ever. The Dirty Dogs, Rude and Ziggler, basically ambushed young Dominik and took him out. So all of a sudden, this tag team title match becomes a 2-on-1 match. Rey Mysterio versus the Dirty Dogs for the tag titles.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Rey at points looking like the Rey of old as opposed to an old Rey, acquitting himself quite well in the ring against not one but two opponents. But guess what?
What?
Dominik made his way out after the doctor said he shouldn't wrestle tonight. He came hobbling out to the ring holding his ribs.
And then his father was like, "No, what are you doing out here? You're hurt. Stay away, son. Stay away.
Take me in, Dad. No, you're injured."
And then he tagged himself in.
And he tags himself in, which was ultimately a good thing.
It wasn't ultimately a good thing as they win the SmackDown Tag Team titles. God, that frog splash just came off like a dud. Oh, my God.
Yeah, what did you say about it?
I said it was a dud because it just...
No. What was the other thing you said about it?
What do you mean?
It lacked something.
It just...
It didn't have something.
Was it moxie? Did it lack moxie?
What was the term I used? I forget.
No, Moxie's there. You guys, fill dead space for a second while I actually backtrack in our chat. I'm going to see if I can
impact.
Find it.
Impact. The word was impact.
It lacked impact.
Yes, I've scrolled up in our chat to find it.
It also lacked selling of those ribs that he was holding yeah. the entire time.
It also didn't help because I watched the RVD special right before the pay-per-view, so you see the RVD five-star frog splash that have actual impact to them, and then Dominic's just landed with a thud and probably hurt his knees a lot on the landing.
Well, here's the thing. You said it lacked impact, and I said, no, it didn't. His knees impacted, which is exactly what it was. The execution of it was fairly fine, but I don't know if Dominic's too tall to pull off a proper frog splash or he just needs a little bit more work on it. It didn't look terrible, but if you see it immediately following the Rob Van Dam thing, what are the like icons or whatever?
Yeah, WWE icons with Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, that was it. They're just replaying it on the WWE Network too. But it's going to look weak. And to just to be fair, there are a lot of people pulling off or attempting to pull off the frog splash who look just as bad, if not worse. I mean, Superfly Jimmy Snuka was the granddaddy of Ma with his frog splash. His daughter Tamina can't do it to save her life.
No.
She's horrible at it. And that's not a shot against Tamina. That's just, you know, if she wants to pull it off, she needs to work on it or she needs to drop it. Not everybody can do every move.
Yeah, I don't know why she couldn't use to do it with bad knees to begin with. So
yeah. But she's not the only one who does a bad job with frog splash. And the one thing that I hate saying, I understand if he's your favorite wrestler and you want to pay tribute to him, but the Three Amigos, nobody can do the Three Amigos. That was Eddie's thing.
Nowhere near as good.
It's just nobody comes close to it.
Speaking of Eddie, Cole had a throw out that Eddie was watching and he's very proud of Dominic tonight. Yes.
That's because every father is proud of their son.
Exactly.
Yes. Don't forget that there was a wrestling match between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero for Dominic. Dominic was on the pole.
Dominic was on the pole. Eddie is his true father. We all know. We all watched the storyline 15 years ago. So he was very proud of his son. Yeah, he was very proud of his son tonight winning the tag team titles.
Of course, if you remember seeing Rey Mysterio without his mask in WCW, no way in hell you'd think that Dominic wasn't his son. Dominic looks like a 6 foot, 4 inch tall version of his dad.
So we have new tag team champions in the Mysterios.
I didn't think they'd pull the trigger, but I'm kind of impressed that they did do that.
A little surprising, but you know.
Well, you and I talked about it, and again, Skype chat during the match, and we both speculated that maybe, the beatdown was a really good fallback excuse for them not winning the titles.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but then again, it's like, I mean, it's Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode as your tag team champions. If you didn't know Robert Roode was a member of the SmackDown roster, then... because you couldn't really, like, he hasn't done anything memorable in forever.
Since his debut.
Been a while since Robert Roode's actually done something.
Since his debut.
It's been a while.
That was a while ago.
Yeah. I know.
But I'm just going to take credit for, like, taking 3 seconds to book the entire match after the beatdown started.
It wasn't hard to book.
I don't need you popping my balloon. Shut up.
That's what I'm here for.
Pop your own fucking balloon. Anyway, yeah, so congratulations to the Mysterios who make WWE history. The first ever father-son tag team champions.
All right, what's next?
Another match. Oh, guess which match is next?
It's a lumberjack
match. Damian Priest is taking on The Miz.
All right, we talked about it. Next.
Wait, they had zombies. Yeah, next, zombie Elvis next, was there.
Next.
God damn you. Well, the next match is the SmackDown Women's title match. Bianca Belair defending against Bayley.
So I made this point on the Rack on Thursday. Unlike the Raw Women's division where it just seems thrown together, they're doing everything right on SmackDown with Bayley. They spent, what, a year and a half building her up on her heel run before dropping the belt, something like that?
Yep.
They build up so much equity in that character. To where she can make people like Sasha Banks as the top babyface, and now Bianca Belair as a top babyface. They're doing everything right.
They are. And it's a case in point with that investment. They've got the crowd to the point where they love to boo Bailey,
mm-hmm.
which was a monumental amount of work when she first came out the hug monster.
Yeah. But no, it's like the phrase was equity because she beat everyone along the way. Now she's doing the favors and getting everyone else over. That's good booking. That's good long-term booking.
Absolutely.
This was a good match,
but
too.
She's progressed to the point where she is, she's now another Natalya, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
She's had her, you know, her time in the spotlight, and now she is good enough to make other wrestlers look good. I'm not saying Bianca Belair needs somebody in the ring to help her make her look good. Bianca is good on her own.
Yeah.
And she's going to be another one that they lean on once her time in the spotlight, you know, her 15 minutes of fame are up. She's going to be the next one to be leaned on and counted on.
And it's not to talk about making her people look good in the ring. She's the character's built up so when you beat her, it means something. It's not beating Liv Morgan and that means nothing. It's you beat someone with value, and beating Bailey has value behind it. And they had a really good match on this show.
Yeah.
It was very entertaining. It was really good. The psychology was there.
Yep. And I mean, and they built, you know, little things like Bailey went back to the ear that she worked on on SmackDown when she took her out, and they did a whole bunch of stuff with the hair, which is always a factor in Bianca's matches. So like I thought they did a really good job putting everything together with this one.
Well, that's all part of the psychology. The callbacks were fantastic. And I'm pretty sure everybody knows what I mean by callbacks. You already pointed them out. The earrings, the hair, all of that different stuff. And yeah, okay, I chuckled. I chuckled when I heard Bianca say, "Don't touch my hair."
Yeah.
It's like right then and there, okay, the hair is going to come in instrumental at some point in time. Is she going to bullwhip Bailey like she did Sasha at Mania?
I mean, I was expecting it to happen, but hopefully it doesn't become like a staple that they use with Bianca.
If you're going to use it in big matches, in important matches, not just a random match on Backlash.
Yeah, don't use it every pay-per-view. Exactly. Threaten it. Do all of that other fun stuff. They've done that with other things from other wrestlers in the past. I mean, Booker T and his Spinneroonie, he wound up teasing it but not using it unless it was a huge, huge match and he hadn't used it for a couple of months. Whereas when he first started doing the Spinneroonie in WCW, of course, he did it long before WCW. But he was breaking that out every Monday night on Nitro.
Yeah,
just for an example. So, but yeah, no, the match, very entertaining, very, very fun. And I'm just loving Bailey's character again. And we've brought it up on more than one occasion, the way she smack talks Michael Cole.
One day.
She's on his ass just as much as she's on her opponent's.
One day we'll get that showdown. Get in front of people, Michael Cole versus Bailey.
That would be awesome.
I mean, She also threw some stuff at Pat too.
That was fun too.
And he commented, he's like, "Yep, she just told me to talk about her, and I will."
Great. He's good. Pat's really
good. He is good.
Yeah.
How new is he
to commentating SmackDown? A month.
Just a few months, right?
A month. He's been doing commentary on SmackDown.
Like 1 month. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can still tell when he's getting spoken to in the headset by Vince.
Yeah, but he's learning. He's learning.
He's getting better.
But he's very energetic, which is what you really like. I like about him because it's like he's reacting to it like a fan would react to stuff. And then there's Adnan who's just screaming finishing move names.
Thanks, Adnan.
I mean, I gave him credit like the first week he was actually trying to call moves and then people probably told him don't call the wrestling moves.
Yeah, isn't that like verboten in WWE?
I guess because like the first night he just said he's doing it with the hammerlock and the this and the, hey, oh, the body slam. And now he's not. He's just going, whoa, whoa. And then screaming.
He's reacting. Yeah.
And he calls Damian Priest finisher all the time and accurately.
Mm-hmm. But then he screamed, riptide, riptide. Like, oh,
Calm down.
Like, you know, for me, I have unlike Vince, for some reason, I have absolutely no problems when an announcer actually names the move the wrestler just pulled off. When he's interspersing it with genuine sounding reactions to the move.
Because
without saying what the move is.
Because he's a natural play-by-play guy, so he's going to call what he sees in front of him. He's been doing baseball forever.
Yeah.
So, like, he would call what's in front of him. And he's also a sports center anchor for a long time, so he's also good at calling the highlights. And
Yeah. Well, when I was doing the play-by-play commentary for Stampede Wrestling, that was what I would do. I would react to half the moves and then point out half the moves. And the people that I had doing color for me would start talking to me about that move that I reacted to. And we would talk, you know, and it would perpetuate. But we wouldn't talk about other matches or other feuds during somebody's match. WWE seems to have a bad habit of doing that.
This is a tad. Anyway, so Bianca retains. Next.
Well, the next match on the card tonight is, oh my God, I can't believe it. Something that we never see on a regular basis. It's a triple threat match. This
what?
Time
no way.
For the Universal title.
Get out of town. You're lying. We're having a triple threat match for the title? No way.
When's the triple threat match pay-per-view?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, they had Great Balls of Fire, so you'd think that they could have WWE Presents Triple Threat.
We had Fatal 4-Way at one point, didn't we?
See?
That was a one-off, but yeah, we did.
All right, what was the triple threat, Tim?
We had the almighty Bobby Lashley defending against recently dethroned former champion Drew McIntyre. And the upstart, Braun Strowman. Did you like that one, Kish?
The upstart?
The upstart?
If you're talking about, like, the train that they have to get rolling every time he wrestles,
well,
sure.
I didn't want to call him the third wheel, but that's basically what he was in this scenario. But, yeah, really, really good match. And the starting of the match, Lashley and Drew actually teamed up to kick the crap out of Braun. Which was beautiful and brilliant all at once.
This was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Do my eyes deceive me, or did we actually see Braun pull off a 450 off the apron?
It was a somersault, not a 450, but
well, okay, fine.
Wow, I mean,
but still,
it would have been like a dive bomb headfirst into the mat if it wasn't for the other two just staying up long enough to let him like roll along their bodies.
Hey, look, I'm not going to be impressed with anything Braun does until he pulls off a shooting star and doesn't bang his head on the mat and give himself a concussion.
I'm pretty sure that earlier in the night we talked about moves that we shouldn't be trying. Not everybody can do every move.
Yep.
Yeah, let's just apply that to Braun Strowman and a shooting star press.
Well, Brock used to do it all the time until he concussed himself against...
No, he didn't do it all the time. He did it one time because he got goaded into it because he could do one, but it's not like he ever did one in a match. And as soon as he did, look what happened.
I disagree with you because I've seen him do it more than once. And then against Kurt Angle, he concusses himself and can't even remember the finish of the match to this day.
So let's move forward 18 years and let's talk about this match.
It was a better match than I expected, Rock. Do you believe that?
Yes, because that's what I just said.
I know. But still, I'm giving Braun props for doing the front somersault off the apron because I didn't think that he would ever be able to do something like that.
No, and like I don't know why, but for some reason I was watching him in this match and I thought back to like when he first started on TV.
Yeah,
and just like, and I don't know why, but it just popped into my head watching him tonight, being like, he is very much improved and like in front of people. It's not like he's had the same sort of opportunities to kind of train and get better as a lot of other people have. So yeah, a lot of props for him kind of getting to the point that he has.
Well, he's improved by leaps and bounds, but he's done it under the radar.
He's also lost 45 pounds.
He's looking really good.
But no, these were three big guys beefing it up.
What were you estimating? 900 pounds in that ring?
Yeah, because they did a whole graphic about it. That's why I said 900 pounds. Like, it was 900 some pounds. I did a whole graphic on the pre-show about it.
You're not the only one who made references to beef.
Yeah, so they, I mean, it was good. They brawled around the building, and, you know, we had the explosion by the set, because big guys, you gotta explode the set every time, so.
No.
Well, how else are you gonna make it so that one of them gets taken out long enough for...
Exactly. To make the return at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Enjoyable. Entertaining.
Very good. Bobby Lashley taking one hell of a shot from Drew off the stage into the lighting fixture.
Mm-hmm.
That is the backstage wall. Everybody's wondering, where did Bobby go? He's not there.
And then all of a sudden, oh my God.
Out of nowhere for the end of the match, Bobby comes in.
Drew hit the claymore and then gets rid of Drew. And oh my God, spear. Woo.
Bobby wins by pinning Braun after delivering the spear. Your winner and still WWE champion, the almighty Robert Lashley.
Yeah, good match. Smart, yeah, smart
just
finish.
Just because of his name. It just reminded me of another wrestler. Whatever happened to Lash LaRue?
It's a good question. I don't know.
I think he retired.
Oh, he's probably long retired. I'm more thinking, is he alive or is he dead? I'm not sure.
He's alive. He's moved to Mississippi and he pumps gas for a living.
Okay.
Now, I should actually preface that by saying allegedly, because I have no proof and I don't know. I'm making it up as we go.
There you go.
So, yeah, I don't see them taking that title off Lashley until at least SummerSlam in front of a live crowd.
SummerSlam would be a point. Maybe the first show back in front of the crowd.
SummerSlam won't be the first show back in front of a crowd.
No.
We'll have to, like, speed that up a little bit. You and I chatted about this, and I said you're going to have a live crowd back at WWE events by July.
It's looking like, we talked about this Thursday, July 16th weekend, we are going to have fans back in buildings.
What pay-per-view is happening?
TBD. Most likely Money in the Bank, but it's currently TBD.
So by mid-July is that's the word that's going around.
So that'll be, we'll have SmackDown with an audience, pay-per-view with an audience, and then Raw with an audience.
And that will just start feeling so much like normal.
Yeah. It's
that it's going to feel weird.
It's amazing how AEW announced we're going to be the first live touring group with a wrestling group with a live crowd again touring. And then boom, WWE's going back out a week and a half later. It's amazing what happens when you put out a press release. You get the ball rolling for other people. When you say you're the first and then Vince realizes, wait, we're not going to be the first. Well, we're going to do it bigger.
Yeah. Well, that's always been Vince. If he can't beat you to the punch, he'll beat you to the spectacle.
Yep.
Which is perfectly fine. Before we continue on, I just want to welcome everybody tonight. I did say this at the top of the show. Welcome to the show. But thank you all very much for joining us this evening. I have noticed that we have a few new faces in the chat room, Rock.
Cool.
Which is always wonderful to see. All of you people who are basically in the chat room for the first time, the assumption would be you're tuned in for like the first or second time. And we're glad to have you and hope that you're entertained enough to come back on a regular basis, because we love it when you tune in to listen to us really destroy a webcast. So thank you very much. And of course, to our regulars, again, thanks for coming back again and again. For example, the team chat and, of course, Anubis Ash. So we appreciate y'all. Say hi to people in chat, Casey.
Hi to people in chat, Casey.
There you go.
Let's get to the main event.
The main event tonight. We see Roman Reigns defending against Cesaro. Cesaro doesn't belong in the main event. What the hell's going on?
They've run out of people, so they want Cesaro.
Quite possibly. However, I'm going to tell you right now, you said it, Rock, and I basically echoed it with my version of what you said. The match was just perfectly booked from start to finish. And it was the perfect match for tonight's main event.
It was perfect for tonight's main event, but also early on, the first 10 minutes of the match was like you were building the spots where you're looking for the crowd to pop. And that was like the thing that was missing early on. It was like, oh, you're looking for the crowd reaction there and there. And you could
you could just see how it was working. It's like they're looking for the reaction, and there's no reaction. That said, this was a hell of a battle. That Cesaro's awesome. His counters and submissions are just top notch. He showed how you actually apply some submissions and actually put a grip on them to make them actually look real.
I can't believe on Twitter there were actually a few people calling Cesaro boring.
I could believe it. Then again, they're stupid.
I can believe people are stupid.
I can believe people would say it. Doesn't mean they're right or anything.
You know, everybody's entitled to an opinion, no matter how wrong it is.
If you don't like straight up traditional wrestling, I can see why you're like, that's boring.
I happen to enjoy a good technical match.
A lot of people do.
Which is why I don't watch half of Casey's. I'm sorry, Casey. I'm kidding. I always watch your matches because I just love the reaction on your face when you get beat up. It's called selling, son.
If you're going to do something, do it well.
There you go. And speaking about selling, we saw Cesaro sell really well, but we expect that. One thing I wasn't expecting and was pleasantly, I don't want to say surprised, but it was nice to see was the selling that Roman did as the match went on.
Yep. Yeah, no, it was really good. Like anytime he took a European uppercut, he straight up sold the jaw, and like maybe not necessarily the way that I would sell it if I got hit by Cesaro, because I would be dead. But like, you know, like constantly like adjusting it and making sure it's not dislocated, like trying to shake it off, but like really registering that he did get hit, his bell getting rung a little bit. I thought he did a really good job of like selling the moves, but still like maintaining that he is the tribal chief.
Oh, absolutely. One thing that just really, really impressed me is like we've said it, we've had the commentators say it, we've grown to believe it. It's like pay attention to what your eyes are showing you. Cesaro, pound for pound, really does have to be one of the all-time strongest guys in that locker room.
Absolutely.
Some of the things that he was pulling off tonight would, this is no shot at anybody, but would definitely slip the notice of somebody less attentive to certain things than like you and I happen to be. Rock by default, because he's been doing this for a long, long time, would probably, be picking up on the same things. But those of us in the business, when we're watching a wrestling match, Casey, correct me if I'm wrong here, we have a hard time just watching it as fans, because we're watching it to see see how the boys do pulling off their moves.
I'm always watching for that, and like I can tell when a match is really good, because it'll like distract me from watching for stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like I've been guilty many times of like watching a match that's really, really good, and then then getting sucked in from a fan perspective, because it's just, you know, some wrestlers have the ability to do that, right?
Yep. Well, there are times where I actually have to force myself to watch a wrestling show as, you know, Joe or Jane fan, and just turn my brain off, because with you, I'm sure a lot of matches that you're watching to see if there's something that these guys are doing that maybe you can adapt.
Absolutely.
And on my side, I'm watching this and I'm like, how could I take what they're doing and book a separate match with some of those elements?
For sure. Yeah, because you watch it from a perspective of booking. And yeah, I watch it from a perspective of a student of the game and someone who also coaches people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're helping to train people at, name it.
Workforce Fitness.
There you go. I was just wearing the t-shirt yesterday. You'd think I remember the name of the goddamn place. It's only run by one of my best friends of all time, the Beast from the Middle East, the man named Hale Ali. But, there's a plug, and now he owes me for that. But, every time that I show up at the center, sometimes you're there, sometimes you aren't, because you're not there every time. And of course, neither one of us are there lately.
No, nope, hopefully soon.
Not until things open back up again, and hopefully that will be within a very short time. But I'm hanging around the ring with all of the trainers who are on the outside shouting out instructions, and students are pulling off a move, and I'm talking with the trainers about what they just did and Do they need to tighten it up? You know what? He's doing the front. Yeah, fine. But he's not slapping the mat hard enough. His arms have to go out further from his body. He's got to tuck his feet, you know, tuck his knees so his feet land flatter, blah, blah, blah. We're doing that.
Yeah.
Which is at times I wind up doing that with myself when I'm watching Raw or SmackDown or a pay-per-view, whatever. And I literally have to bite my tongue and tell myself, shut up and watch. Tonight's match, I didn't have to tell myself to shut up and watch. I know that was a very long way to get to that point.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's Tim's dying in the background. Roman Reigns is still your Universal Champion.
And your Tribal Chief.
And your Tribal Chief. There was no...
And your Head of the Table.
Head of the Table.
And the spicy pepper wearing, you know, the way.
The Tribal Chief. We got that
part. It looks like spicy peppers.
Cesaro put up a hell of a fight. Then Seth Rollins came out, stared down Roman Reigns, and then beat the crap out of Cesaro. Apparently breaking his arm?
We'll find out on Friday.
We'll find out on Friday if he has a broken arm or not. So that feud continues on. Is this writing off Cesaro? We'll have to see. I guess you sort of set the teaser for Roman and Seth at some point with them staring each other down for a moment. We'll see what happens there. But I think Cesaro's time in the main event's over. Roman's back to dealing with the Usos, and we'll see who his next challenger is.
So you figure that this was a one-off for Cesaro, and he's done.
Yeah.
I could see him fighting for the title again at some point down the road.
Down the road, but this point in time, he's back down the card. That's how I see it. So overall, pretty solid show tonight.
Yeah.
I would say if you haven't seen it, go check it out on Peacock or on the WWE Network internationally. So
it was everything I kind of expected from a pay-per-view right after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Nothing, like, not a ton of super crazy stuff, but enough to be entertained. You know, we got new tag team champions and, like, just, I mean, some really good matches.
Everything was by the books. Very simple, very solid booking throughout the night. We have pick'em results, but they're not in any particular order. Since I was doing the result, got charged with doing the results tonight, so I'm just looking at the spreadsheet as it is. Blaine had 5, Sheila had 6, Tommy Michael had 5, Amy had 6, The Intern had 6, Wheel of Fun had 4, The 8 Ball had 3, Lindsay had 6, I had 4, Tim had 5, and Omega and Keishi had 6.
So like I say, everything you expect out of a post-WrestleMania pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Yeah.
I knew I should have swapped that tag team match when I was talking with you.
Well, you know.
I told you I was thinking about changing my mind.
You were thinking about it, but you didn't do it.
Well, you kind of sort of talked me out of it because of saying, well, maybe they're just using that beatdown as an excuse for losing without hurting them.
I mean, you know, they could have. Anyway, so that was the show. Good stuff, right?
That was the program for the evening, everybody. of course, we are short one individual, so our webcast went a little quicker tonight than it normally would have. Programming note, there is no WTR Sunday night next weekend. In Canada, it's what we call the May 2 for a weekend, the Victoria Day long weekend.
For those of you who don't know, Victoria was once queen of Britain, country that we are still slightly ruled over by. So we celebrate the queen.
Yeah, Keishi, she was only queen of England until she died.
Well,
after
I mean,
that, forget it.
All queens are queen of England until they die.
No, that's not true. If she's queen by marriage to the king... Wives of kings are always called queens, but husbands of queens are not always the king.
That's fair.
They're the prince. Prince for life. So, anyway, that's what's going on. But there's also a birthday celebration next Sunday. He wasn't expecting me to make it public, but everybody wish Sir Rocking an early happy birthday because it's his birthday next Sunday and he doesn't want to do a webcast.
Nope, I'm not doing a webcast, sorry.
So
it's your birthday on Sunday?
Yeah, next Sunday.
Oh, my birthday's on Saturday.
Nice.
See, so, all the reasons not to do a webcast. We're all going to be enthralled in doing nothing for our birthdays.
Yes.
You're both selfish little dicks. I've done webcasts on my birthday.
I did one last year at midnight, so I'm good.
That's right, TV radio. But does it really count because you said it's at midnight, so wasn't your birthday over by then technically?
I don't know.
Anyway, so welcome to middle age a week early, Rock.
Yay!
Listen, when you get to be my age, you'll ask the same question I did. Why does it feel so weird to be the same age as old people?
Yay!
So, there you go. Anyway, you can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network and Wrestle Talk Radio on social media, can't you, Rock?
At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter.
And, of course, you can follow me on the Twitter at Flames Forums. That's the only one I'm going to promote for the time being. I've got like three or four other Twitter accounts, but I'm not really posting much on those lately. But follow me at Flames Forums if you aren't yet. If you are, just send me a tweet saying hi, because that'd be cool. I'd enjoy it. If you don't have Twitter, get Twitter. Just so you can follow me. That's the
it's
only
free.
Reason to get Twitter.
Send
it's free.
Tweet Tim pictures of monkeys and hats.
I don't. Why?
Why not?
I'd rather see pictures of cats smacking dogs. Those are funny.
No, monkeys and hats. That's what we need to tweet them at Flames Forums.
It's Rock's birthday wish.
I don't think I've ever seen a monkey in a hat, except for you, Rock. Anyway, if he was here, Omega would tell you that you could follow him everywhere on the social medias at...
He's at TJMag on Twitter and Twitch. It's the Plastic Addict on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. So you can do that, too. And then Keishi has made a promise to actually tweet at least twice a week if you follow him.
Yeah, I do tweet twice a week, especially when I'm on wrestling shows. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver. I do have an Instagram under the same name. I don't really post. I post there less than I do on Twitter because I am not hip nor happening. You can also find me doing some wrestling. I wrestled just recently on Act 2 of the Clandestine Society. You can find that on the Backbreaker Media YouTube page. Also, hopefully when things get back to normal, you'll find me wrestling on Real Canadian Wrestling's weekly Uprising stream. And you can find that on Real Canadian Wrestling YouTube page as well.
There you be, Chief. And I do believe that's that for that. Don't forget, tomorrow, immediately following Raw, is the post show.
It is Raw post show live every single Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Following that, you can go to wildtalkradio.com, recradioshow.com, and check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Season 2, Episode 20. The finale of Season 2 will be available at 11:30 once the show ends on the USA Network.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, Thursday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern, it's another continuing episode of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rock Radio Show with the multi-time, multi-award-winning host, Lindsay Ward.
You can check out our interviews with Renee Paquette and former two-time WWE champion Drew McIntyre, both now available wherever you get your podcast. Search The Rock Radio Show. But we'll be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review WrestleMania, Backlash, NXT, and more. It's The Rock's Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And, of course, EB Radio returns midnight-ish on Saturday, as close as you can get to the witching hour, because they're all bunch of sons of witches.
Yes, we'll live Saturday night, midnight, FCRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com.
And don't forget, next Sunday night, find something to do, because we're going to.
Yep.
That said, have yourselves a fantastic, 2 weeks, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.